This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Hope you had a great weekend. I certainly did. You know, it's funny. I get to the studio today and everybody's asking, hey, did you win any money? Did you bring back some money? Yes, I did. I didn't bring back enough money, Mike. I mean, if I did, I wouldn't be here today. I would have called you and said, I quit. But I didn't do that. I'm here because I made a little money. I came back with more than what I went with, so I'm happy about it. Great trip. I'll fill you in on a few things. And, Mike, we got to talk about one of the things that happened to me while I was there. And I got to tell you, I would have never guessed that this would have played out the way it did. But what if I told you that I almost lost a $1,000 ticket?
Oh, man.
I will explain
later
in the show.
Always say to take a photo of it.
Well,
whoever remembers to do that?
No, and here's the other thing, and I know what you guys are going to say, Dukes, they got all the apps out there. Yes, we were on the app, silly.
Right.
Okay, that was part of it. But I am also old school because when you do the apps, what happens is wherever you take the money from, they deposit that money back to you, and they charge you money, by the way, if you put it on a credit card, if you're not familiar with this. So let's just say you use your debit card, and you win, oh, I don't know, $10. $10 then goes into your debit card. You still have to get it back on the card and then withdraw it.
Right.
I'm old school, Mike. I just paid you a bet. When I win, I want my cash.
Right.
I want my money right now.
Without a handling fee.
Correct. With no extras. Right. So I'll tell you about that, man. What has been going on, bro? I feel like, you know, I was gone for about 3 days there at the end of last week, and it feels like a lot of stuff happened.
Yeah, I mean, the Ian Anderson ship has sailed. We'll get give you a chance to get caught up on everything, get your take, of course. But, you know, Georgia, mine was Randon Raven. Like, we should have had Pitino, too. And granted, Pitino goes one game further than Georgia. I would love to know what that vibe is in Vegas when that game was playing
nuts.
But
And by the way, that was the game that the ticket.
Yes.
I had bet Arkansas. I will tell you that now. But I will tell you the story. Absolutely crazy, but go ahead.
No, and you know, I was joking around with Chris and the listeners, and save for two or three guys, I just don't think anyone cares about Georgia basketball. Like, is Pat, you know, it is the ultimate chicken and the egg. If you could ever get things cooking, like if you're an Alabama fan and you live in Birmingham, you might drive down to Tuscaloosa to watch Nate Oates' guys.
Sure.
How many folks are going to go up to Stegman? You know, Stake goes, his daughter's going there. But how many folks are going to make the trip to watch Georgia basketball unless you start consistently winning? And what does it mean if you win, you go to the tournament for the first time in 10 years, and you get embarrassed? And then and then you lose probably, you know, Asa Newell. What's your team look? You have no idea what your team looks like next year. So that's why I was like, what a great big nothing it was. And now I just feel like you're spinning your wheels. Hope that, you know, Dame gets things cooking with Georgia Tech. I was just kind of ranting about the sad state of affairs for, you know, local hoops.
Well, seven SEC teams are now in the Sweet 16, and we know we're hosting here in Atlanta in the South region. It's going to be great. Auburn, Ole Miss, Michigan State. It's going to be, and they travel, by the way. All those schools will be here. But to your point about Georgia, and look, I was saying before last week, I thought they had a really good chance. Like, this was a chance to maybe show up in a spot that nobody really expected them to. Mike, that game started, and I got to tell you, I ran into about, I don't know, seven or eight dog fans while I was out there. And how do I know that? Because everybody's repping their schools. So they had dog gear on, and they'd walk by, and you go, go Dogs! And they'd be like, go Dogs! You think we're going to win? I don't know. You think we got a chance? I don't know. But they were flat. They didn't show up. It was ugly, and you said it. They got beat down in that game, and it looked like they didn't belong, to be quite honest with you. And again, these first games, you just don't know what you're going to get. I said this to you, you know, last week. You got kids waking up early, the travel, the time changes, all that stuff. You just don't know what you're going to get. But I thought Georgia should have played better than what they did. But I do know this, the SEC, and I've been saying, I still think they're going to walk away with the trophy, guys. I think an SEC team is going to be the team standing last. And when you've got seven teams in the Sweet 16, the odds are in their favor. The one thing we don't have is, where are the Cinderellas this year, Mike? Right. There are none.
But does it matter? Because I just saw an article that we were talking about it yesterday. Stephen A., they did one of their typical zero-sum arguments.
Quite frankly,
the tournament is dead. No, the ratings are great. An article just came out. They had a monster number this weekend. As I said in the argument I made, do you remember what happened with George Mason? They got embarrassed by Florida. Mm-hmm. People stopped watching it at halftime. You know, so it was a good story until it wasn't. You know, Butler never brought home the bacon. So with all due respect to the Valparaisos and McNeeses of the world, nobody gives a crap unless you went there. People want the blue chips. They want the Kentuckys. They want the Dukes. You know, Auburn has become one of those teams. That's who people want to see.
Yeah. What do you guys think, by the way? 404-726-0929. I think it's been a fun and entertaining tournament. Look, I may be a little bit more invested than most. The college basketball certainly changed. And Mike and I talk about this all the time. You know, the fact that you're just now getting to know the Crab Five from Maryland, that should have happened at the beginning of the season, where you've been following these guys and you go, oh, that's a pretty good team. Who's this Derek Queen guy? But now this is when the tournament, and it happens, Mike, and the stars shine, and so you start to get familiar with some of the names. And some of these guys, again, will be playing in the NBA, but for the most part, I think the numbers are good because the teams that we're watching, most college basketball fans and even the fringe fans have some idea of what these teams are about. Listen, I think Duke is way better than I expected, Mike. And they got a really good shot to win it all. And that was with, you know, the injury. And we didn't know what that was going to look like once he came back and played. But Duke is really good, man.
You know, and the other thing is, I always feel that Calipari, if he had just a little bit more X's and O's in the half court, he could probably have two or three more championships. But then you look at what he's put together at Arkansas. And it's funny, because if you watch that documentary I've been watching on Vice, it's been the ultimate work in progress. There was times watching it, you're like, this guy's not going nowhere, you know. And then all of a sudden, it starts to click. And then, you know, I said yesterday to Chris, Louisville, that's old school slip. But St. John's couldn't handle the physicality of that front court.
Right.
And that's the kind of thing I'm just very curious to see how Texas Tech, and you're like, Arkansas is going to have to play some great defense, but I'm buying it. I think Calipari can get there.
I do too. Like I said, I bet them, and all my guys are like, you're crazy, they're going down. And then they were leading in that game, and they end up winning that game, and they have a really good shot against Tech. But I am curious to see what plays out here at State Farm Arena as well. Other things going on, guys, and we got a lot to talk about coming off of a big weekend, obviously, and yesterday I was out. But, Mike, what's going on with the Hawks in this win streak?
Yeah, man, this goes back to, you know, what we've said, beat the inferior opponents. And, by the way, great day for Zachary Sauchet against the Sixers. He was looking great behind the back moves. He took it to the basket, just beautiful. Yeah, now road trip, though. Here's the thing. We're just one game away from being at 500. But can we now go on the road in H-Town? They had this big win streak until the Clippers snapped it. You know, I'm a big fan of Ime Udoka, what job he does with the Rockets. But that'll be a big test for them. It'll be coming up tonight, by the way, right here on 92.9 The Game at 8 o'clock. Chris will have the Bridge Show before the pregame. But can you continue this run, lock in that 7? Look, I don't think you're getting to the Pistons. That is what it is. But just win, have some confidence to build on. And, the bonus would be for over 500 for the season. That's respectable.
I agree. And the Hawks are 16-19 on the road, so they're not a team that's over 500 on the road. And the Rockets are pretty good at home at 26-11. Look, I won't tell you the Rockets are a surprise team. Some people were saying this earlier in the season. I don't think they're a championship-caliber team. I don't think they can beat OKC or Denver or maybe even the Lakers in a seven-game series. But they're pretty damn good, Mike. And the thing about tonight is, you're right, can you keep this momentum going and solidify, hey, this is not a fluke. We are getting better as the season goes on. They've gone on these runs, right? Four games, five games.
Right.
Then you lose two or three. Like, I'd like to see them to beat a really good team. The Rockets have been pretty good this year.
It was weird. Like, the Nets game really got me. You know, I was ranting and raving. How do you lose to those Brooklyn Nets? They're terrible.
You were done.
Yeah, and then they smoked the Hornets, and then no Steph Curry, even the Warriors. So what? We're playing with, you know, with 3/5 of our starting five to begin the season. So, you know, cry me a river. But they beat the Warriors. We talked about the Sixers. But, yeah, this is just, you know, a team that I do believe, and we see guys like Nying when he's doing his thing, and, you know, they've got a nice bench. So I know there's a ceiling. I think most Hawks fans know there's a ceiling, but let's see where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, look, you get in the first round, Mike, and if you are able to win a first-round series, to me, you've really pulled off something that nobody thought you could this season. I mean, you're right. The 500 is one thing. Like, hey, we're a better team than what you expected us to be, especially after the trade deadline. But if you get into the first round out of the play-in,
right,
and you're able to pull off a first-round upset, because it would be, guys. I mean, as a 7 seed, you're still playing a higher-seeded team. Then that's what we'd be looking for. But we'll talk more about the Hawks as we move along. And then, of course, plenty of Braves conversation. You ready for opening day? I mean, I know they're opening on the road, but, man, It's here, Thursday, against the Padres. Chris Sale will be on the mound. Obviously, the Braves won't have their home opener until the following week, and we'll be out at Murph's having a good time out there. But, man, I'm so ready now, Mike. It's almost like I've been, you know, just sitting back, kind of taking it all in. I know they traded Ian Anderson, and I'm sure a lot of Braves fans were responding to that. But, you know, at the end of the day, Mike, he wasn't good enough.
Nope, and he knew it. And unfortunately, after a really good outing, the walks. And we've got the soundbite. We'll play it for you later in the show. I heard it today on Steakhouse and Andy Randy. But Brian Snicker, being about as honest and brutally honest about him, because he loves him, what he meant to the World Series run, his clutch. Remember, he was thrown into that pennant race as a really young player and then just could not get the traction after the injury. And they gave him every opportunity. They couldn't bring him back to the minors. They didn't want to DFA him. So he goes, look, he can play for the Angels. They're terrible.
They are.
So he'll have a chance to maybe reclaim a spot in the bigs.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Ron Washington, unfortunately, probably is going to lose his job at the end of this season. But that's just the nature of it. That team is a long way away from any kind of run at a championship. But Snit had other things to say, including his comments about Drake Baldwin. And also talking about Strider's camp. So we'll hear all of that from Brian Snicker, who was on the Steakhouse. Full interviews online at Odyssey.com. You can check that out, and we'll play that for you a little bit later on. Also today, guys, we got introduced to Leonard Floyd. He went on the midday show, I believe, right? It was the midday show with Andy and Randy. And, Mike, I heard a little bit of this just from the Falcons press conference because he addressed the media today. And, you know, our boy D-Led was up there. Oh, it's been a while. And he's asking him about coming home to the state of Georgia. And he's a Georgia boy. And he asked him about being a Falcons fan. He said, yeah, man, you know, I was obviously growing up a Falcons fan. And it's kind of cool now to be here playing as a Falcon. But the one thing he said today, guys, is he's going to get to the quarterback on third and long. This is what he's going to do. And he was pretty confident about how he's going to do it. And he was talking about pass rush moves, and he's a much better player than he was a few years ago. And it was interesting. I'm hoping he can help us like this, man.
Yeah, man. I don't think it's a bad play. I mean, we had talked about, you know, if you looked at the resume, Judon had a more impressive resume as far as, you know, Pro Bowls and all pros. But this guy's been a solid piece everywhere he's been in his career. And he knows what he's doing. And I think having an OG around the young guys is cool. So, I mean, look, guys, we had a budget. This was all we could afford. And so that's it. That's what you got. But I think you could have done a lot worse. And now you hope that, as we say every year, if Eba Cady can pop, if everybody else can play and all these guys we haven't seen yet can really show out. No, all right, we'll see. Look, I'm trying to be positive. We're less than 4 weeks away now from the draft.
It's true.
Still mad about Cousins. I want to get your take on this because Kirk Cousins just continues to be like literally.
How many times can he screw us?
He's like Macho Grande. He's like, you think you're over food poison. You got to run back to the toilet. Hold on. Oh, God. Because he just continues to be this boomerang effect with us. Now we're not going to get a draft pick for him this year if we can move him.
Well, listen, and I say this. I know it wasn't his intent the first time he screwed us, which was the whole tampering thing, but it still happened. It was on his watch. And now I feel like all through the season to deceive us and, you know, oh, I'm not hurt. That was a lie. And now it's like, okay, I want to get up out of here. I want to be a starter somewhere else. Great, we'll move you today, but I don't want to leave until after the draft. And-